righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All my praise for this I bring.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know.
Sister Teresa, we got the quick announcements. We got today, Raven's party right after church. And then next week on Sunday, they're going to do the cookout right after services. Church is providing the meat and the plates and paper plates and cups. But get with Sister Elise for the sides. And then that Sunday as well, Brother Jerry Allen's going to be here. So Brother Jerry Allen will be preaching on Sunday morning on the 20th. So look forward to hearing that. And I'm looking forward to the services. Go ahead.
I'm just glad to be here today. Amen. Because I had a hard week, and I just want to give God the praise and glory that he let me come into this house one more time. Amen. You know, I don't want to take this for granted. I don't want to sit down on God. And if he wants to hear me sing, I'm going to sing for him. Sure. I may not have the greatest voice, but he loves to hear it. And I just want to just thank God for my health and strength. Yes. He provides for me for everything. Right. I don't have to go without nothing. If I do go without nothing, that's because I didn't ask him to give it to me. And I'm just glad that I know that he takes great care of me. I am that sparrow that he watches over. Amen. And I'm just glad to know that God loves me. And he seen me before the foundation of the world. And he knew my path. And I never thought I was going to come to Fairborn. I didn't know nothing about no Fairborn. I didn't even know Fairborn existed. But I know that God brought me here and set me down in a place where I can hear the word. And it has changed my life more than I ever imagined. And I'm thanking God for all that he's done. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he
Thinking of the Brother Childers once said that he was talking about that handling of serpents and vipers. He said, "The ones crawling on the ground has never bothered me. It's no. The two-legged one that's always giving me the trouble." Why can't we handle the two-legged vipers running around? It's because of the doctrines. It's because of how strong we've gotten because of the doctrines and understanding them. Take a look at what we learned from serpent seed.
Right.
That a lot of the old doctrines was. Was there people still on the earth before the fall? Well, no. We know that because of serpent seed, we can stand against that saying, well, Adam named woman Eve the mother of all living. That means everyone came from Eve. There was no one else on the earth because of that. Adam does not mean the father of all living, but Eve does mean the mother of all living. It answers everything right there. You're not as strong. You're never stronger than what your doctrine is. And it's because I've been learning so much doctrine over the years that's why I'm not swayed. That's why I can stand strong. That's why I can talk to anyone in the world and not be altered. I'm not afraid of touching any of the vipers. I have a revelation, and I have the strong doctrines. And I can stand against anything because of that. It goes right back to Brother Chill's preaching and Pastor Moore's preaching. It's because of the preaching and the ministry here of the doctrines that we can stand up against anything and not be swayed. We have it built upon a rock, which is revelation, not upon sand, which is partial rock, partial revelation. That's why we're so solid here, is because we have strong doctrine here.
Amen.
And every one of us can stand strong because of how strong our doctrine is.
Amen.
And not be altered one way or the other.
Amen.
I'm saying I am not ashamed.
That's why I am not ashamed.
that song, I Am Not Ashamed.
Thank you. 21 years. And I'm just so thankful because, you know, I could be lost and confused out here, but I'm in here and I know what he wants from me, and I'm a willing vessel, and I just want to give myself over to him.
Amen. God bless Sister Kara. Amen.
I was thinking how much we actually have, how real this is to me, how important it is to me, how it shadows everything, every thought, every move, everything I do. This revelation, this doctrine.
Yeah. Amen.
You sit there, a lot of people say they love God and don't know how to love God. Don't know a thing about love.
Right.
I don't even know who God is. But I know how to love God. I know
Amen.
What it means to love God. I know who God is.
Right.
I'm thankful. You know, I'm excited to be here. Seemed like we're a little dry this morning,
sure.
In my opinion. But, you know, let it start with me. Let me say something.
You know,
this thing is real to me.
Yeah.
It's important to me.
Amen.
It's everything to me. I don't say it all the time. Sometimes you almost got to adjust your revelation for who you're around almost, you know. But here I should have a freedom. Here I should be rejoicing. Here I should have a praise. I was thinking there a little bit ago, singing a lot of songs, you know, but really this is a praise service, not a song service. Songs just in there, they're just fillers in between all the praising. If you have time for songs, it should be praise primarily. It should be, oh, my Lord, come back to a place like this where you know God's going to talk to you, where you know you got the thing dropped on you that's never been dropped on mankind ever. The most important thing that has ever struck the earth is right here.
Amen.
I was reading this morning. I was waiting for my wife. She'd come over. Our well run dry. We had to come over here and get a bath, you know, next door. And I had some time to sit to read. And I thought, well, I'll just look up. I'll just Google serpent seed. See what comes up. Probably take me right back. But, you know, it took me to Wikipedia. And it had a lot of good information. How the early church had it. How Irenaeus rejected it. I said, yep, that started the falling away. I know all about it. I know exactly how to place everything he had to say. And it's beautiful to know, to see, to understand. And I praise him for that. Because that's not me. He gives revelation. He's the only revealer of the word there is. I can sit and listen to the preaching all day long unless he reveals it. Unless he quickens it to my life, it'll never do me a bit of good. So I'm excited to be here. You know, this is the highlight of Brother Moore's ministry. Every service is because we're closer home. Because it's a greater revelation. It's more exciting, should be, to the bride, because we understand what's going on. And I think every service should be the greatest worship service the world has ever seen, the greatest worship service we should ever have. I think we should come in. I think the first song, we should start off first song, just hugging each other and tell you how much we appreciate each other. You know, we sit in our assigned seats. We do our assigned thing. We come to church knowing that we're just going to do this, you know. And I'm guilty, too. I'm talking to me, and it shouldn't be that way.
Right.
It should be building every single service.
Amen.
If you got to jump up and down, we got to have everybody jump up and down. This should be building upon service, service, service.
Amen.
Until we get out of here. This is even the quietest place we'll ever be. This, but it should be the noisiest place on earth.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Every praise.
Every praise.
Page 192, key of G. Who's behind me?
Yes. I'm just so glad to be here. I couldn't sit in my seat any longer. I'm just so thankful to be here, you know, and I just was so excited. You know, we missed last week. We went out with the kids, and, you know, we had a good family time, but it's, you know, you always know you're missing something, you know. And, well, that's, you know, to be sick, you know, we know that. So, but anyways, you know, I was just so hungry this morning and had, you know, things on my heart, and I'm just thankful for my husband. I just don't want to ever not, you know, give him praise, because I know he's kept me steady. He's been my rock all these years, you know. And no, I don't care how tired he is. If I have something, you know, he's always willing to sit down and talk to me. You know, that man works hard, but he takes time for me, and I've never wanted for a thing. And I'm just thankful. You know, I told him this morning, I said, the Lord's got to feed me this morning. I'm hungry this morning. Then that food in the storehouse, I love that song, because that's what this is, you know. We're so blessed. And then, you know, singing that song, I love, you know, I'm not ashamed, you know, and Brother Moore, how you said, you know, we're the anchor,
right.
You know, we're the tie post that people are leaning on, you know, for those who don't believe and for those that, you know, do believe, and I'm just thankful to know who I am and what we're here for.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Every praise, page 192, every praise is to our God.
What if we could? shake hands, greet each other, shake it off a little bit. Amen. This is not regular church. This is real.
To our God, every word of worship, with one accord, every praise, every praise, every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
God, my Savior.
God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Every praise. Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory.
Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship to our God.
Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Deliverer.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
our praise belongs to Him. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. So glad to be in your house of worship, Lord. This is what my soul needs. Lord, I long for this. I yearn for this. I have a desperate need to have your word, Lord. And I've come to the house this morning bringing all my praises and glory to you, Lord, for truly you are worthy of all of our praise. Oh, God, how could I be upset with what you've given me? How could I be down about what you've blessed me with? And Lord, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You have been with me through it all, Lord. You blessed us in so many ways that, God, we need to come this morning and praise you for what you've done. You are so worthy of all that we can give back to you, Lord. Oh, God, we're so grateful. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for coming amongst us and letting us know who we are, letting us know our purpose in life, giving us an understanding in such a way that, Lord, we'll overcome and conquer everything that's laid in our path. Lord, we don't fear anything, Lord. We know that your word is real. We know that you've come here today to speak to our hearts, to move us up one more notch, Father. So, Lord, let us move aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, and let us, Lord, come here expecting from you, Lord. You are so worthy. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. We have the word here, Lord, but, Lord, we need your quickening power to make that word real to us. Have your way with the remainder of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get started, I better let Brother Hicks say something. It's Pastor, get me. So somebody get a mic for him.
Well, I do thank God for being here. I thank God for this message that has brought so far.
Amen.
And I just on out for Trevor. Now he's doing good. They out on out enjoying this weekend. So thank you for your prayers. And I thank God for everything he's done for me.
Amen. I wasn't gonna, you know you weren't gonna let that pass.
No. I was gonna say something, but when you got up I thought, oh, I waited too late.
No, you didn't.
I thought, no, I'll have a chance.
Amen.
You know, I do thank God for this message. You know, it has grounded me. You know, as a matter of fact, we was talking about it in our church last Sunday. You know, Brother Spivey was talking about the doctrines, you know, and the sound teaching that he has had.
Yes.
And, you know, I had to stand up, and I said, I'm thankful for what I've heard right down through the years that has made me stand
yes
for this truth. And, you know, but I know where it came from.
Amen.
I know God had it in me to hear this word and to say amen to every word. And I know I'll make it. I know I'll go through. There's nothing can stand in my way. I get maybe in the flesh. I know that Satan's going to battle us all the days of
that's
our
his
life.
Job.
But he can't touch that inward man.
No, he can't.
And that's one thing that gives me rest. I hold on to that. I say, Lord, though I walk through the valley of sin,
right,
I will fear no evil.
No evil.
And I thank God for that, Brother Moore.
Amen.
Because I know I didn't do it. He's the one that done it for me.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here. God bless you.
Amen. And happy birthday. Now I want to do one more thing before I get started, that I like to be sensitive to God. I want everybody outside of Brother Childers find some place else to sit. If you have sat in your seat more than a week, find a new one. I might look better from that position. Jim, you're cheating. I like to be sensitive to God. You know, I believe when the testimonies are going forth, I'm listening for God. When the songs are going forth, I'm listening for God. And then I'm trying to see how, God's trying to see how willing I am
to obey him. And so when I heard we need to be in a different seat, I thought, yes, Lord, we'll do it. Then God puts it out to the body to see, are you going to be rebellious or are you going to follow God's word? Now, see, a lot of times people think I'm following God's word when I'm following Acts 2:38. But no, you're following God's word when you're following God's leadership. And God's trying to see how willing you are. That's just a test. You have been tested this morning. I have been tested this morning. That's what this is about, people. This is not churchy. This is about when God moves, when God speaks, you move with God. And that's how simple leadership is. When God moves and God speaks, because I'm listening. I'm listening to every testimony. I'm listening to everything. And God said this morning, we're in a rut. You're in a rut in where you sit. I know I'm a rut where I sit, but you know why I sit right there? I want to be as close to the food as I can get. And that's a bad rut, but it's a good rut. It might seem like a rut, but that's about, because I don't like distractions. I don't like, if nobody's sitting over here, and that's why Brother Chilton sits right there. He don't want to be disturbed. He don't want to be distracted. He don't want to see whose baby's crying. He don't want to see how many times you go to the restroom. So and he wants to sit as close to the cooking as he can get. So, but we don't need to be in a rut. I like this. We need to switch it around. Next time I'll do it differently. I'll say, everybody's in the front, sit in the back. Everybody in the back, sit in the front.
Amen.
You go, oh, man. But that's all right. We need to be flexible. We need to be willing. Now, Jeremiah, see, I can't find Jeremiah. You're out of your rut. Find out from your dad if the whole group is coming, because we want to make sure we have enough food, because I want them to stay for dinner, because it just happened to be a week and we're having a cookout. So if they're going to be here for dinner, we'll whip them on the volleyball court. We're in the process of trying to put a volleyball net out there for us young and healthy people. But we need to know if they're going to stay for dinner, so I hope they do, because that'd be good to have them here. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I missed Wednesday, and I'll be missing periodically, but don't stay home because I stay home. And I'm not even staying home, but I'm about my Father's business. I got work to do, and so you come in, and I got a chance to, this morning, I was looking at some Wednesday night service. I appreciate our brothers getting in there and taking charge and moving forward. Now, we're talking to some things. You all don't have to wait. Now, you know the doctrines. You brothers, you know the doctrines. You don't have to wait on me to hit it first and you hit it. No, you hit it, because there's enough doctrines to go around. And if you hit one and I hit one, we can get through this pretty quickly. But if we wait until I hit everything, then you're going to be here for a long time, because Brother Childers has preached us a lot of doctrine. And then any other
church.
Than any other church. That's right.
And I've traveled around. That's why they're mixed up. They don't teach a doctrine.
And that's why it's important for us to understand the doctrine here, not for knowledge's sake, but it makes you solid. It makes you sound. Doctrine is what makes you sound. When you got your doctrine wrong, you're not sound. When you got your doctrine mixed with your creeds and tradition, you're not sound. But when you got your doctrines lined up, and every one of these doctrines line up together, they all dovetail together, and every one of them goes right in line with it. That's why I said when a preacher comes in here and they're preaching doctrine, I can tell when it's right and I can tell when it's wrong. And they can't snow me with false doctrine. Because if your doctrine don't dovetail with what I have, I will throw yours out. Because I know yours have wiggletails in it, and I know mine is solid. So as we're going through these doctrines, these things, if you're a weak Christian this morning, you're weak because you don't know doctrine. You really are.
Amen.
Now, you can go in weak. Doesn't mean you can't go, but it means you'll be defeated in a lot of your battles. Our goal here with the Word of God is to make us an invincible army. And you can only be invincible when you have the doctrines. Sound doctrines, because the time will come, and now is, as I read last week, that they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll endure going to church.
Paul's teaching. Paul was a doctor.
He's a doctrine teacher.
Man.
Yes, he was.
Whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Paul taught more doctrine than any other apostle put together.
Matter of fact, they had to back down because Paul was preaching and Peter didn't understand it. Peter had his thinking, and Peter had a new birth, but Peter didn't have the doctrine. So by Peter not having a doctrine, he was not as strong as Paul. And when Paul stepped on the scene, Peter had to back up and say, whoa, Paul, you say some hard things, hard for us to get, because Peter had his tradition with it. So as you lay your thinking down and you pick these doctrines up, it'll only make you stronger. I've had more people this week excited about us talking about the doctrines because they're saying, this is what we need. I've been waiting on this. This is what I want to hear. I want to know how it ties together. Because as you learn how it all ties together, you'll know where you fit.
Amen.
You'll know where fate Satan fits. You'll know how it all runs together.
Amen.
You'll know what matters and what doesn't matter. And then all those things that would bother you before, they don't mean a thing. They won't bother you. Because you'll find out that your doctrine's got you solidified in your role here and there. And you're not going anywhere. I'm here for 38 years because of doctrine. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Because a lot of people have doctrine, but they're not here. They're not sound. They got wiggle tails in it. They got it mixed up. But I've got 100% the truth. And if you can't get with me, you can't get with truth. You say, how can you say that? I got to say that. Because I got sound doctrine. You say, how do you know? Because you're questioning it. I know yours ain't sound. All right, let me get started because I got to get going today. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. I want to go over here. I enjoyed last Sunday. I enjoyed here in Wednesday night service. So like I said, I'll be in and out here. I'll be here on some Wednesdays, some Wednesdays I won't. But you just keep praying for us, and we're about our Father's business. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, sometimes you wonder why things happen in your life, and I felt so compelled to leave that job that I was in, and I haven't stopped since. I left, and it's just amazing to me, and I don't know what it all means, but I just know I needed to be free, and God knows what he's doing. I don't always have all the answers, but I do have God. So, all right, Ephesians chapter 1, standing to your feet. Lord, y'all are breaking some traditions here. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have obtained redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. You may be seated. If you want to talk or title this morning, we're going to talk on the doctrine of predestination. One of my favorites. And the thing I love about predestination, I was thinking about this before I go further. I was thinking about predestination, and people really don't even understand that. I'm talking about message people. You know, I remember Brother Childers making a comment that a sister looked at him and said, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. If I'm not, I won't. And she walked out. That's not the way predestination works. It's not like it's not a fallback to that you're going to just lean on. And that's why a lot of people are not in church today. They think because they're quote-unquote predestinated, they're going to be there. But predestination isn't just God loves you and he's going to take you. Predestination is that you are here to do a job. You have a job to do. You have a job. That's why God predestinated you. That's why God called you. God don't call nobody for nothing. You know, Brother Childers always says, God doesn't do anything for nothing. If he calls you, if he predestinates you, he doesn't predestinate you to come here and then to go sit down and do nothing. If he predestinates you, because he has a job for you to do. Now, over here in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, according to as he has chosen us. People don't understand how God chose us. They think it's like Brother Branham said, he chose one, he picked one, and didn't pick the other. He picked this one and didn't pick that one. That's not the way it works. See, God always writes his book from the end to the beginning. He really does.
Amen.
He does his math from the total to the problem. He says the sum total is 4. Then it's 3 and 1.
Amen.
He writes the book from the end.
Told the Baptists and the Presbyterian and those said, you had it wrong.
Right.
Then he turned around and said,
I had it wrong too. We all did. We all had it wrong because we were all taught wrong. You know, just to backstep a second, there was something else God said this morning. I wanted to bring it to your attention. Did you hear Brother Don say that they taught serpent seed until Irenaeus?
Right.
They had the truth of the fall in the garden until Irenaeus. Then the doctrines were mixed up with creeds, and they got away from it. So serpent seed isn't a new doctrine. It's something that we got away from. I heard that also this morning. But when you're talking about predestination, nobody, just like with serpent seed, nobody had it right. Predestination, nobody had it right. And we had it. In the apostolics, we apostolics didn't believe it at all. We just didn't believe in predestination, even though the Bible said it. It's written in Ephesians 4, in Ephesians 1. We just didn't understand how it worked. We didn't believe in it. And then if we did have somebody that believed in it, they had it mixed up.
Straighten all of your doctrine out.
All of Brother Branham's doctrine had to
he
be straightened out.
He had his doctrine so mixed up like we.
That's right. And that's why he had to get it straightened out by the angels.
Right.
And so when we're talking on predestination, it says he's chosen in us and him. Now, when God did his choosing, you got to understand how God chooses. God first decided what he wanted to do. I mean, that's how he chose. He chose to do what he wanted to do. That's the first choosing. And then he went about to figure out how he was going to do it. And then he figured out who was going to do what he wanted done. God predestinated by his foreknowledge. That's why the Bible said he declared the end from the beginning. That's the way God looks at things. God, he didn't go from the beginning to the end. God declared the end from the beginning.
Amen.
He decided what he wanted, who he wanted, how he wanted it. That's why I said, if you are a predestinated seed of God, you got a job to do.
Amen.
You're not just here to be predestined. Oh, God just chose me. No. If God chose you, he chose you because there's something he wants you to play for him because he has something he wants to fulfill. So if you are predestinated, you're not going to come in here and say, I'm predestinated, and then walk out and go home and do nothing. There ought to be some sort of obligation
Amen.
In your life because of the fact that you're predestinated.
Amen.
Because ye are sons is why he comes to you. He comes to you because he has something for you to do.
Predestination probably more than any doctrine in the Bible.
Yeah.
People rationally come to me, I'm predestinated.
Right.
And if I'm predestinated, I'll be there.
Right.
They wrote on that,
mm-hmm.
and they challenged me.
Right.
And when I preached foreknowledge on predestination, they couldn't buy it.
They couldn't get it.
No. I said, by his foreknowledge.
He predestinated.
He predestinated.
That's right. That's right.
And Brother Branham, when he taught the oneness of God, they was a group that wanted to say Jesus only.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of y'all never run into this. But I've run into it.
Oh, yeah.
I was challenged.
Yeah.
On the Godhead,
mm-hmm.
and water baptism.
Right.
I went to a church down in Kentucky one time, and this lady challenged me. She was Jesus' own.
Oh, yeah.
Baptized, sang them.
Mm-hmm.
And she heard me say, the Lord Jesus Christ. She challenged me right in the church. She said, you're wrong. They didn't believe that. It's Jesus only.
Jesus only.
And Brother Branham made it clear. He said, I'm not Jesus only.
No.
Like that.
No.
He said, I'm not. So here he was, believed in three,
mm-hmm.
and yet one.
See, they had the Godhead, they had all these doctrines. Every doctrine was tainted. Every doctrine.
Yeah.
So when it came to predestination, even God choosing, they had that wrong. Brother Branham said it wasn't that God chose one and God didn't choose another. Not that kind of choosing.
Oh, no.
God chose his plan. God chose what he wanted to do. And then he created people to do what he wanted them to do. And if you were a part of God's plan, he chose you. And that's what I'm saying. If you're here, you've got something to do. You're not here to just sit on a bench.
That's right.
You're here to fulfill something. Your question should be, Lord, what do you want from me? Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. There's a reason that God chose you, people, and you need to find out what it is.
Amen.
Because if you know what your will, what your job is, then you can be about your Father's business. He chose us in him before. That's a key word. Before. Before you were born. Before you were good. Before you were bad. Before you came to church. Before you decided this was right. Before you gave your life to him, before you gave your heart to him, before you got water baptized, he chose you already.
Amen.
And if you could understand that he chose you, what should that do for you? Oh, it should make you an invincible person.
Amen.
You should be so willing to give everything up. You know the song says, give up and let Jesus take over? Yeah. Gladly let him have it. Gladly give him your life. Gladly obey him. Yeah. Gladly follow his instruction. Gladly do whatever he wants because he chose you. Because you know what? There's people that he hasn't chosen. And you know what? They don't do his will. And they won't follow his instruction. And they won't follow God. And you know what? All they do is prove who they are not. And they also prove who they are. Because we all will fulfill the scripture one way or the other. But I'm glad that I was chosen in him before the foundation. In the mind of God, he said, I need a man that'll come down at the end time, that'll stand for the word of God, that'll stand on the revelation. I need a Nate Moore to come down here and preach this thing when nobody else is going to believe it, when nobody else is going to have sound doctrine. I need him to run a church in Fairborn, Ohio, because that's me fulfilling my word. That was the choosing that God had. When God chose you, he did the exact same thing that he did when he chose me. When he chose Jesus Christ, he did the exact same thing that he did when he chose you.
Right.
You were chosen in him. He was chosen in him. He was slain before the world was even in the mind of God, before the world even began. Why? God already declared you in from the beginning. He'd already put his plan into play. He already put predestination in action. He chose us to follow him. And if he chose you, that means he's got you. We were in him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. God declared me holy.
Amen.
God said you're holy, church.
Amen.
I'm not waiting on you to prove anything to be holy. God said you're holy. I'm not waiting for you to bring anything to be holy. God said you're holy. God chose you in him before the foundation of the world. Now you're talking about predestination. When you're chosen in God, God chose you. God's got you. He declares you holy. What else you got to do? What else you got to bring? What are you bringing to the table? You're not bringing anything. You don't have nothing, your smartness. You can't even get this by education. It won't be your education that gets you in this thing. It won't be your education that makes you ready for the journey. You need to love God because he loved you. That's the scripture. I love him because he first loved me. He loved me before I even knew he was existing, Brother Childers. He loved me first, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He put us in this family. This adoption isn't like the world's adoption. In the world adoption, you take somebody else's kids. In God's adoption, he adopts his own children. In God's adoption, you can't even be adopted unless you belong to him. In God's adoption, he comes after you. You don't even come after him. In God's adoption, he makes you one with him. He calls you. He justifies you. He sanctifies you. He glorifies you. All of that happens because he chose you from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
My. Now we're talking predestination.
You didn't make yourself holy.
You can't make yourself holy.
You have nothing to do with
You say, well, I read my Bible every day. That don't make you holy.
No.
You say, I don't run around, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I got a clean life. That doesn't make you holy. If God doesn't declare you holy, then you won't be holy. If God doesn't declare you a predestinated seed, you won't be a predestinated seed. I don't care how much you want to come to God. If God doesn't choose you, you can't go. That's the kind of predestination God I serve. He calls you. He is the one who decides who he wants to adopt. Churchill's got it the opposite direction. They're trying to make you feel like you're choosing God. You're not choosing God. Adam wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Adam. Adam was in sin. God was looking for Adam. He didn't.
Amen.
Adam wasn't out here. God, where are you? And neither were you looking for God. And you think because you're so holy, you're so smart, you're so righteous, you get to go. No, that's not the criteria.
No.
You could be as clean as a whistle. And you, if God didn't predestinate you, you're not going. You know why that makes the church world so mad? Because it takes all the work out of it.
Amen.
You can't find God. It takes all the work out of it. You say, well, if what do I have to do? Nothing. You can't help it. You know, if you're predestinated seed of God, you're going to come. That's why I don't have to preach this little, like the preacher try to do. They try to just soap it, just clean it up, make it. You know, they don't want to chase nobody off. They don't want to run off the children of God. I can't run off the children of God. They're ordained for this. Their very taste buds cause for what I'm feeding. No matter how I feed it up. I can't mess up. Brother Childers, as hard as he preached, he's a rough preacher. But he never ran me off. He preached hard, but never ran me off. A lot of people said, oh, well, he should be nicer. He should be this. I was like, what's wrong? I said, I don't see no problem. You going to eat that? I'll take that too. All right. It's the word that drew me.
Amen.
It's the word that keeps me. It's the word that feeds me.
Right.
I have to have the word of God.
Amen.
I don't care what everything else might look like. I have to have the word of God. You say, well, you can't do this. You got to do this. You can't. This denominational minded people hate predestination because it takes the work out of your hands. And people think I'm trying to get people to work just because I'm trying to get them saved. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to work because if you don't do it, I got to do it.
Amen.
It will get done. That's like Brother Children said. When he was pastor, he cleaned the carpets, washed the walls, cleaned the bathrooms, collected offerings, opened the service, sang service, and then preached.
Right.
If you don't work, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
But I'd much rather you help me.
Amen.
I mean, it would go a lot more fun with somebody with you. You know, I can go on a roller coaster by myself, but it's good to have somebody by your side. So when we're doing this, I'm talking about predestination. I'm not trying to convince you to get saved. I understand that if you are sitting in this place this morning and you're not predestinated of God, you will not enjoy my message. You won't. You'll pout, you'll be mad, you'll be down, you'll be out, and then sooner or later you'll wander off. You know why? Because what I have don't feed you.
Right.
And I can't help it. I can't fix it. No matter how I fix it, every time I fix it and feed it to you, you're allergic to it and you swell up. Eventually, you will go. And the thing about predestination is that if God predestinated you from before the foundation of the world, you will come here. You will serve God. You will love God. You will eat the Word of God. And you'll be about your Father's business. Simple as that. That's the way it works. I'm sorry. If you say, I want to do. No. Just live. I keep telling you, just live. If you're predestinated and you're living, God's going to use you. Remember, every individual that's supposed to cross your path that needs you to quicken their eternal life will cross your path. You don't even know who all those people are, but God knows. Why? Because he already put their name on the book of life before the foundation of the world. He already wrote the end from the beginning. He already declared the end from the beginning. They don't like predestination because it takes the work out of your hand. When Brother Childers finished preaching predestination to me, I saw I didn't have nothing to do with it. I saw that my name was on the book before the world began. My name was actually transferred. Do you know my salvation was counted for even before I got here? My name was transferred from the book of life to the Lamb's book of life. See, what you got to understand, there are two books in one book. Like the Old Testament and New Testament. There's two sections to that book. One is the book of life. All life goes through that book of life. He had straightened all that out because we were confused on how a person could even be saved. But there's a book of life and a Lamb's book of life. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. You say, you're carrying your Bible around like, I don't understand the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. The example's right under your arm. It's one book with two sections. You got the book of life where all life goes through. And then there's a section called the Lamb's Book of Life that has the eternal ones in. That all the ones that are going to be eternal, their names were transferred from the Book of Life to the Lamb's Book of Life. And their name was put in that section because when it's all said and done, the Book of Life is going to go away. Because everybody who will have eternal life will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Another doctrine we'll deal with some other day. But it ties in with predestination. It ties in with eternal security. My name, my salvation was counted for before the world even began. Before I came and sat in a chair and gave my heart to God.
One section of that would require works.
Just works and deeds.
And the other.
No works.
Nothing.
In the Lamb's book.
A lot of people don't know that.
In the Lamb's book, there were no works involved there.
That's right.
Because that's why when you get to, and we'll get them. You get me on another doctrine. But when they get to the white throne judgment, those are going to be people whose name are on the book of life. Because they will be judged by their works.
Yeah.
And their name will have to be transferred from the book of life to the Lamb's book of life at that time because that's when they go into eternal life.
Amen. It's very important to know these things.
See, y'all didn't know I knew all this doctrine. But there's a doctrine that I've been taught.
Yeah.
That's another one, brothers. Get on that one. Two books.
You've been taught that.
I've been taught well.
By the best.
I've been taught by the best.
Yeah.
I've been taught by.
You didn't get it from nobody else.
Nobody else. And I that's why every one of these run and they tie together. I can't talk about predestination without talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't talk about the Lamb's Book of Life without talking about eternal security. I can't talk about eternal security without talking about serpent seed. I can't talk about serpent seed without talking about the Godhead. I can't talk about the Godhead without including myself. That's the way it works. Those are all doctrines. All right. But today, I'm focusing on predestination.
I would dislike. Because of my doctrine.
Because of your doctrine.
And it's just like, a lot of people didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I was gouged around, misjudged because of what I preached.
And I am not liked because of my doctrine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will not be liked because of your doctrine. Okay, now, got to get moving here because we got to get this train moving. All right, predestination, bad word. Just like the word predestination, Brother Brem said, it's a bad word. I used it a few minutes ago, and I caught myself because I felt the Spirit move back. See, a preacher can feel them when those spirits moving. He said predestination. Somebody out there, that, you know, I used to be an apostolic. We didn't believe in it. I used to go to churches which was a one God church. We believed in Jesus only. That was us. We were Jesus only.
Yeah, really.
Okay, I caught myself because I felt a spirit move back. Many people don't believe in predestination. Predestination is a bad word. It's really foreknowledge.
Right.
What Brother Childers told you.
Put that in it.
What Brother Childers just told you. It's really, when you talk about predestination, it's really foreknowledge. God knows before who will and who won't. So therefore, he can predestinate by his foreknowledge. That's the way it works. God's knowledge of you and your role that you're going to play allowed him to predestinate you before there was a world.
Amen.
God's not just now down here down pulling his punches and doing this play. He had this thing already finished. You couldn't have missed this service this morning if you tried. You couldn't have missed it if you wanted to. You say, well, I decided to come here. You're okay. By his foreknowledge. That's the reason he knows who will and who won't, see? He don't.
That's how you done it.
That's how he done it. He's not willing that any should perish, but he knows who will perish. By his foreknowledge. He knows you're not going all the way. Judas never was going all the way. He never was. He walked with Jesus as long as he could. He hung with Jesus as long as he could. He collected the offering. He went out and prayed for the sick and got them healed as long as he could. He did a lot of good things, a lot of good works, and Judas hung right in there. But Jesus was never deceived by Judas. He knew that he even chose Judas for the very reason that he chose him. He knew that Judas was going to sell him out. He knew the whole time. And what did he do? Let him walk right with him. Just come on, Judas. Come on. We got to go over here and pray for the sick. Come on, Judas. Let's go over here and raise the dead. Come on, Judas. Let's go over here. But he was not deceived at all and knew exactly what he was doing. God always knows who's going all the way. And God always knows who's not. The only one that's tricked is the ones that are down here who don't go all the way. They're tricked. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't make it. No, you only can go so far if you're not to predestinate it. He knew you by your foreknowledge. That's when he knows who will and who won't, see? He didn't. He's not willing any should perish, but he knows who will perish. If he wasn't, then he wasn't God. He has to be omnipotent, just the same as omnipresent, see, and omniscient. I'm omnipresent, omnipotent, infinite. He's infinite. If he isn't, he isn't God. If you can pull anything on him, he ain't God. You can come here and do anything this morning that God didn't know about, he's not even God. He knows you. He knew what you were going to do when he spoke. He knew where you're going to sit. He knew what you were going to testify. He knew what you were going to sing. I was sitting at home looking at the Wednesday night service. Let me see the hands of everybody who was here Wednesday night. So you got it firsthand. Brother Mike was amazing. For those of you that weren't here and didn't go back and look at the service, Brother Mike got up here, played the piano and sang. Played the piano and sang. Played the piano and sang. Somebody who says he don't know what he needs to do. But you know what? He's stirred up. Yeah. He's been saying, y'all may not be paying attention, but he's been saying for months, I need to know what God wants me to do. with his deep voice. I want to know what God wants. I want to do what he wants. I'm willing. I'll do it. You know what? He's making progress. And you know what? You might be still sitting there. But what I'm saying is that God already knew he was going to do that. He knew who he was going to be here. He knew who he was going to bless, how he was going to bless him. He blessed me on Sunday. I got blessed this morning. Just watch. I was like, wow. But you don't sneak up on God. God knows everything. I took those three down because Brother Branham just sort of ran through them. omnipresence is God's presence everywhere at the same time. He's ever present. You can't go anywhere that he's not there. He says he's over here. He's over here. Don just said if you make your bed in hell, he'll be there. If you make it in heaven, he'll be there. He's present everywhere. Omniscience, he knows everything. You can't come up with something that God don't already know. God knows what you're thinking before you even think it. How are we going to think that God doesn't know what's going on here? He knows it all. He's declared it all. Omnipotent is having unlimited power. He's all power, all knowing, all powerful, and everywhere. How are you going to get around that? The old song says, you're so high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it, so you must come in at the door. You can't get around God.
Amen.
He's all-knowing. So when God predestinates somebody, he predestinates them all the way through.
Right.
All the way through. He's not haphazardly doing that. He goes all the way through. Now, I need to go over to Romans 8. By necessity, I need to go by way of Romans 8. Don't go there often. But this morning's message requires that I go over there. And to save time, I won't read the whole chapter. I will start at verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And oh my, only them.
Amen.
It doesn't work together for everybody's good.
You mean everybody don't love God?
Everybody don't love God. And if you don't love God, God's not worried about whether or how it works out for you. God will step on your head to go somewhere. Because he's only dealing with those that he loves. His plan did not include the others. It included the bride. All things work together for those that love God and are the called according to your purpose?
No. His purpose.
His purpose. You're here for one reason. Why are you here today?
Amen.
Why are you here today? Are you here to warm a bench?
No.
You better shake yourself. You're here for his purpose.
Amen.
His good. His will. His word. That's why we are here. And if you're here for any other reason, you're wasting your time. Because it ain't going to work together for your good. For them, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. We just went over that. In order for God to predestinate you, he had to foreknow you. See, now these scriptures make sense. Like I said, it all dovetails together. The doctrine of predestination that people can't stand, apostolic saying it's a Baptist doctrine, that's what we used to say. Oh, it's just a Baptist doctrine for them to get away and live and do anything. That's what we used to think about it. That's about as far as we went with predestination. But you had to be foreknown by him. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image. That's God's trying to get you to be conformed to something. He's not just doing it for nothing. He's not just passing out eternal life just because he's a good God and just happy. No, you got to be changed. You got to be changed. You got to be conformed to the image. What image? The image that he saw in his mind. What he saw of you, what he wanted of you, what he needs of you. He needs you to become him on earth.
Amen.
That's why he called you. That's why he predestinated you. Every age had a predestinated group of people that were foreordained of God to be in that age. No different now. God had a group of people that was foreordained to be in this age, to be able to pick up this message, to be able to pick up this doctrine, to be able to know what nobody else wants. Do you realize the rest of the world don't want this? Not only can they not get it, but they don't even want it. People love to work. They want to work their way to heaven. They want to feel like they've done something to deserve eternal life. They feel like they're better than everybody else. We are no better than anybody else. We're sinners saved by grace. Only reason we're where we are is because God predestinated us. And it wasn't because of our choosing, but it was because of God's foreknowledge that he chose us before the foundation of the world. It had nothing to do with us, but everything to do with him. So if you're here on the earth and you're picking this up, then you should ask yourself, why am I here? What am I here to do? How in the world did I end up pastoring a church? I had no idea. Was not my plan, but it was his will. For whom he did foreknow him, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Many brethren. We don't even understand in this. When I say we, I mean the church world. We don't understand Jesus' role. We got that Jesus only mindset, and we think that Jesus is God, and he is. And I think Jesus is the only one. But you know what? He was the firstborn of many brothers, many foreordained, predestinated, called, elected of God that has to come to earth to fulfill something. Jesus was just the first one. But there was many of us that had to come and do the same thing. More of whom he did predestinate, them he also called. If he predestinates you, he's going to call you. If he calls you, that means, come here. I got something to do. Come here. One follows the other. God calls you.
Yeah.
God calls you after he predestinated you.
Yeah.
But he had to foreknow you before he predestinated you.
Yeah.
Okay. For moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That is the order. That's the order. Now, all this is already done in his mind. When God reads his book, he reads it different than we do. When God foreordained you, he already completed the call, justification, sanctification, and glorification. It's already a finished work in his mind. He's not even wondering if you're going to make it. He's not. He's not worried about whether you're going to have enough. Am I going to make it up here or over the mountain or not? No, God's not climbing up the rough side of the mountain. God already finished the work. Already finished it. Already finished it. He already knows the end from the beginning. Okay, he also justified. Him and justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What do I care what they think? The denominations, they don't believe in this. But what do I care? I can't convince somebody who is not convincible. I can't give a seed to somebody who doesn't have it. If you don't have a seed today, I can't give you one. If you're not already predestinated, it's already too late to get on the predestination train. You can't even get predestinated today. He said, well, I decided I want to be predestinated. Too late. You had to be predestinated before the foundation world. It's too late today to think you can even be saved. So, we were saved before the foundation of the world. You know, when the denominators get up and say, when we sing your day, stand up. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They go through the whole week because they want to find out what day you were saved on. Brother Brennan said, I wasn't saved on any day. Why? Because I was a predestinated, foreordained seed of God, come from the mind of God, and I'm on my way back to where I come from. I am the very manifestation of what God saw from before the foundation of the world. That's the doctrine of predestination.
You know, I look at it, Brother Moore. God used time. But there comes a time that time
runs out.
Runs out.
Yes, it does.
And then people's got to change.
That's right.
See, Brother Branham's message done that.
Mm-hmm.
He used time. First thing you know, he didn't use time.
Time is over. Yeah.
If you watch that, and it'll do in your ministry.
Mm-hmm. Every time God uses time, he uses it to fulfill his predestinated will.
Yeah.
But when he finishes the will for that period, that time runs out.
Yeah, runs out.
And then he moves on to what the next predestinated plan is that he has.
We use less time in our message than any other time.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now, God has never changed his mind about his church. He's not just picking you up and just now getting you and watching how you come to service and watching every service and saying, that's a good one. I think I'll keep that one. Ooh, that one. Ugh. Nah, scratch that name off the list. Nah, I don't think I like that. Nah. That's the way the church world does it. They're getting it and losing it, getting it and losing it, getting it and losing it, backsliding, unsliding, everything in the sun. But Brother Branham said here, did God ever change his mind? He said, God has his church called, named, and set aside. Already. God already has it. And in the age that she lives in, he'll reveal himself to her each and every time. Like you said, he'll use that time to reveal himself right then. And you got to be sensitive to be where God's using that time. Like I said, when I come here, I'm watching every service. I'm listening because I want to do what God wants. I don't have a pre-planned agenda. I don't know what he wants. He'll do what he wants. He'll say what he wants. He'll preach what he wants. But God has a time period. You know, this church period time right here only has from 10 o'clock until we get out of here. And then it's done. And God moves on. Okay, each and every time. Just as he said in Romans, the 8th chapter, that the foreknowledge or predestination of God might stand sure. Esau and Jacob, before either boy was born, before they even had a chance to make a choice, God said, I hate Esau, and I love Jacob. You know what that should do to us? To know that God in his mind said he loves you.
He could have said he
hates you. He could have gone the other way. But because you're a part of him, he said he loves you. And he brought you to this thing. And you love it regardless. You love it over top. When I'm wrong, he's right.
Amen.
When I'm right, he's right. When I'm happy, he's right. When I'm sad, he's right. That's why don't come in here with no sorry old testimony when God's been foreordained, testified, seeing me perfect. Oh, my goodness, no. Before either boy was born, before either had a chance to make a choice, God said, I hate Esau and love Jacob, for he knew what was in them. God knows what's in you because he's the one that put it there.
Yeah.
Oh, my. He put it there and he knew it was there when you didn't even know it was there.
That's right.
When you didn't even care about God, he cared about you. When you weren't even watching out over this old boy doing things that would have killed you, God watched over you. He protected you because he had a job for you. And he knew at some point you're going to cross the word, and at that point he will manifest himself and fulfill everything he saw in his mind about you. He knew what was in him from the beginning, and we know. He said, keep that in mind. He knows what's in your heart. You're not fooling God. You say, I love God. You're not fooling God. You say, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You're not fooling God. Like I said, I can outlast you. You know why I get so boldly say that? Because I know what's in me.
Amen.
I know I love this truth. I know that God has changed my life. I know that God already personally spoken to me and said, this is your home and you will be here.
Hallelujah.
I know for a fact that God has revealed himself to me. He's made himself perfectly known to me. And my very life reflects that. I don't care what you think.
Amen.
And so when I see these little Johnnies or Rickies or whatever they want to call them come through here, Brother Childers, I know you saw it. Come here, know it all, got it all, have all the answers, don't need any help, don't need nothing. You know what? It doesn't move me. Because when you're through with your little fit, I'll still be right here. And you'll be somewhere out there. Brother Children, I've watched them over the years with you. I don't care what they brought, how they act, what they did, what they said. It never moved you one inch. It never stirred you. It never upset you to the point where you're like, you're just, okay, fine, you're right, I'm wrong. No, Brother Joe's like, go. My, when they said they're leaving, Brother Joe's like, God, go.
Yeah.
Got to go. And I'm the same way. I'll hold the door for you. I'll let you out of here. Because I know that I will be here. I know that God has chosen me. And the only way that you're going to show me up is to outlast me. And if you can outlast me, you're my brother. Because you're going to be here right with me. But most of them come and go. They come and go, come and go. You get people who got...
You know, there's two kinds of love. One's eternal.
Yeah. One's temporary.
Right.
A lot of people try to love God with a temporary love.
Yeah.
And it won't last.
It don't work.
It's got to be a predestinated, godly, eternal, agape love.
Absolutely.
That's the only way to work. Keep that in mind. It always causes trouble. He says, keep that in mind. He knew what's in your heart. He knows what you mean. No matter what we say, he knows what you mean. Sometimes you can mean the wrong thing and say the right words. And sometimes you can say the wrong words and mean the right thing. God knows. And it's always caused trouble. And they always, the natural always tries, since Cain destroyed Abel, the natural has always tried to destroy the effects of the spiritual. We find it the same thing today. The very same thing today. It proves it. It comes from Satan because it's jealousy and impersonation of the truth. That's somebody who's not predestinated. They'll impersonate, Brother Childers. They'll look like the truth. They'll walk like the truth. They act so good, so close. But there's always a little, or something's just off about it. Not quite right. It's like, I can't put my finger on it, but something's not quite right. But if you are the predestinated, God will never, 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 never change his mind about you. He will never have to think twice about you because he has already seen your end from your beginning. He's already declared it. He already knew it. He planned it, and he is walking through it with you, so you don't have to fear. Romans 9, won't read it over there, verse 11 through 16. It's talking about Cain and Abel. I mean, Jacob and Esau. Children not been born, not having done good or evil, that the purpose of God might stand sure. Romans 9 shows it so clearly, predestination. That what if God chooses a vessel of honor? I didn't even put this in there. I'm just thinking about it. What if God chooses one vessel to honor and one to dishonor? Is there unrighteousness with God? No. If I give you a blank sheet of paper and say, write me a story, and you write in there that this villain is attacking this woman, and the hero comes and saves the woman and ties the villain up and kills him or does whatever it does with him, is there unrighteousness with you? It's my story. I can do whatever I want. And that's the way it is with predestination. God had a story and a plan in his mind from before the foundation of the world, and it's totally his will to do whatever he wants, however he wants. I'm just thankful that God let me be a part of it.
Amen.
That's why I come to church and be thankful. I'm thankful because God let me see the role that I have. God made me a part of it. Most people can't take what we can take. They don't want it. They don't even try. Now, God is sovereign in his choosing. And who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown said, you remember how I read the story? Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. That, you know, all the scriptures, they run so perfectly. And that his predestination might stand true. He could choose before any time who. God is sovereign in his choosing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you.
Right. Nothing.
We think we're doing something. We think we're offering something. We think we're bringing something. But God is sovereign in his choosing.
Amen.
If God chooses Brother Childers to come from Kentucky to be a pastor of a church in Fairborn, that's God's choice. No matter how mad everybody else got, no matter how much they stumped and snorted out and said they'd never come back and brushed the dirt off their feet and on and on and on and on they did, they have nothing to do with God's choosing. And if God, he is in his sovereign will, chooses somebody, there's nothing anybody
when
can
I
do.
When I see people like, you know, leave like this, they are hurting me. They're not hurting me.
They're not.
Not at all.
They're fulfilling
I'll
what they
say. I'll accept it because I know.
You know.
And it's easy for me
right.
to accept it and say, go, or anybody else.
That's right. Because you know.
I stood right here when there's probably 40 or 50 people told me they're leaving. I accepted that. I said, okay, are there anybody else?
Right, because God is sovereign in his choosing. It's not even about you.
They didn't like that.
It's not even about you choosing to stay or go. Right. God is sovereign in his choosing. He's the one that knows the day that you're going to leave when you do. He knows that. He says here, he says, who was back there to tell him a better way to make the world? Who would dare to tell him he was running his business wrong? Even the very word itself is very sovereign. The word is sovereign. Everybody can't even receive this. Even the revelation is sovereign. Brother Childers, this revelation is sovereign. We don't get upset because people can't get it.
Right.
Well, I understand that this revelation is only for a elected group of people.
Absolutely.
It's sovereign, and as much as I want them to get it, as hard as I might preach, I can't get it to them. It's sovereign. It's not for them. It's only for an elected group of people at a specific time. Do you realize what we're preaching now? They couldn't even receive it in them ages. It was sovereign for this age. It was elected, set aside for this group. God wanted a powerful bride at the end time. And in order for her to be powerful, he had to give her some strong doctrine.
Amen.
You wonder why we believe what we believe? You wonder what makes us different from the churches? A lot of you sitting here and don't even know what makes us different from Baptists. There's a reason why we're not Baptists. There's a reason why we're not Pentecostal. There's a reason why we're not Catholic. There's a reason why we come from every walk of life and come to this message and laid it all down. Because the Word of God is sovereign, and nobody else but us can believe it.
Amen.
Nobody else but us wants it. They don't even want it. They don't even want it. Has no place in them, Brother Childers. As hard as you preach 3-4 hours at a time, they still turned around and walked away. Why? The Word did not have a place in them. As much as Jesus preached, the Word did not have a place in them. As much as I preach, the Word has no place in them. That's why this room's not packed today. Even the very Word itself is sovereign. Even the revelation is sovereign. He reveals to whom he will reveal. That's all God's doing. My goodness, that's why we should... A dry day? A dry service? Oh, goodness. Knowing that you're in a place that's so exclusive that the President of the United States can't even come here.
Amen.
This place is so exclusive that the Pope can't eat this.
Amen.
This place is so exclusive that the majority of the church can't eat this. But I come here and eat it up, eat it up, eat it up, eat it up, eat it up. It's the only diet I want.
Amen. Brother Moore never fussed with me over my doctrine.
Not at all.
And it changed everything he believed.
Yeah, I sure did. Do you realize the doctrines that we're bringing out now is different than anything that anybody in here has ever had?
Right.
You, let me just bring it home. You had nothing right when you come here. I had nothing right when I came here. You did not bring one doctrine to this church. I did not bring one doctrine to this church. Everything I got here. That's why I tell Brother Childers, he'll shake my hand going out the door and say, you preach a good message. I said, I had a good teacher. Why? Every doctrine I got came from here. Every doctrine. Every doctrine. I didn't get it from Donnie Reagan. I didn't get it from Billy Paul. I didn't get it from Canada. I didn't get it from Alabama. I didn't get it from Kentucky. I didn't get it from nowhere. I got it right here. That's what made me who I am. All right. Even the very word. That's how people, he says, the very revelation itself is sovereign in God. That's how people pound at things and jump at things and hit at things, not knowing what they're doing. God is sovereign in his words. That's why they're all over the place, Brother Childers. God is sovereign in his revelation. He's sovereign in his word. And if you're solid, it's because God was gracious to you. That's the only reason. We're not doing this because we're the smartest people in the world. We're not doing it because we knew how to make all the right decisions. We're not doing it because we got everything right. It's been the grace of God that's kept me the whole time. It's not by your righteousness. God didn't come out to the denomination and get you because you had it all right. You weren't the only one that was right in denomination, so God come and saved you. No, you were just as wrong and filthy as they were. You had every doctrine wrong just like I had every doctrine wrong. When I found that they lied to me about the Godhead, about water baptism, about the evidence of the Holy Ghost, I said, what else did they lie to me about? And then I laid it all down and said, forget it all. I'd rather go to a person who's preaching me the truth and lay all my thinking down and pick up what they have than try to piecemeal this thing together. Because the moment you try to piecemeal this message with your thinking, you're dead. You're dead. All it takes is one creed, Brother Childers. You don't have to have it all wrong. Little leaven leaveth the whole lump. If you don't have it right, you got to find out where the leaven is. If you got leaven, it's because you're not following my instructions. If you got leaven, it's because you're not following 100% full obedience to every word entitles you to what I got. If you don't give full obedience to every word, you won't have what I have. You'll piecemeal it together and put together some jalopy that looks like it runs, but it won't get you nowhere. All right. I'm not mad. I'm just excited about being predestinated.
I believe what you believe.
That's right.
You know, she proved that her walk.
Her very life. See, that's why I said, I don't have to get a big testimony from you. Your very life will prove if you believe this doctrine. Your very own life will prove if you believe this doctrine. All right. Now, we come because we are predestined. That's the only reason we come. A lot of people stumble in here.
Yeah.
Some come on the arms of boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, and they don't stay. But we come because we believe the word. That's why the rapture of the bride, the wise virgin, is called out. And see, not here with the shot. The foreordained, the elected. Why your businessman won't run your office like some people think God runs his program. People think that God's just throwing this together now. Brother Brown said, you businessmen won't even run your office like you think God runs this. He says, you think that God runs his program haphazard. God knew before the foundation of the world who would be saved and who would not be saved. By predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw every member put every name on the Lamb's book of life before the church ever began. Jesus came to seek and save that which was on the book. He brought the book of redemption, and it was lost, and he redeemed us, and all the names were on the book were redeemed when he redeemed us. When he redeemed us, he redeemed us all. So it wasn't, I got my redemption, Brother Church gets his redemption, Clarice gets her redemption, Steve gets his redemption. No, we all got redeemed at the same time. It all happened at the same time. Then, as I have said many times, you recognize that. That's all we're doing, people.
Right.
All I'm doing, I come up here and lay this doctrine out, and you hear the doctrine like, hey, you're talking about me. That's what happened with me and Brother Childers. Brother Childers started preaching doctrine, and I recognize he's talking about me. That's how you just recognize that. That's why you're here this morning. Why you're coming up out of all these organizational things. See, look around you. We've got, as Brother Reggie would say, ex-Baptist. Brother Chip would say, we have Brother Reggie here, our Baptist preacher, Brother Reggie. I can still see him now. And he would stand up there like this. And all he'd do is Brother Chip would say, we got Brother Reggie, our Baptist preacher, Brother Reggie would say, ex. So we got ex-apostolic,
yeah.
Ex-Catholic, ex-Baptist, ex-ex-ex. Look around you. We all come from denomination. We come from different walks of life. What makes us do that? He said, that's why you're here this morning. That's why you come up out of all the organization things. There was something pulling you. As my little thought was, and that eagle hatched up under the hen, see, you realize there was something different. For those who don't know that eagle story, there was a nest, eagle's nest, way up in the mountain. This farmer climbed that mountain, has three eggs, pulled one of those eagle eggs out, took it back home down to his farm. Well, it hadn't hatched yet, so he shoved it under the hen. She had about 8 or 10 eggs down there. So one more, she ain't counting. She don't care. More the merrier. She don't care if her kid or not. That's the way denominations are. They just want a number. They don't care how many. The more the merrier to them. Stuck that eagle egg under there. And what caused the egg to hatch wasn't the fact that it was sitting under the eagle. What caused the egg to hatch was the environment. Because it was warm and turned and taken care of. When all those other 8 or 9 chicken eggs hatched, the eagle egg hatched. Well, that eagle didn't know nothing but what he had been around. And that when that mama hen, took her babies out to the field and started plucking around the chicken yard, because my grandparents used to have chickens. After we'd eat dinner and wash dishes and stuff, we'd take all that sloppy food stuff and throw it out the back door. Here they come. They come running. They didn't care what it was. A chicken will eat anything. They'll eat each other. They're not picky at all. And that eagle thought it was a chicken because mama's there and all that. It looked like an ugly duckling. It was the ugliest chicken he was. He didn't fit in. Feathers different. He was big. He was bigger than them. Just looked like a big goat dope. And they all ran out to the yard and eat the wiggle tails and worms and scrap. And you know what? That eagle didn't have no choice. Went out there. That's all he knew. Yeah. So he went out to that barnyard and ate the chicken scraps and ate the stuff just like everybody else. And as it grew, the chickens grew, the eagle was bigger. Just looked like it just didn't fit. But didn't know why.
Chicken, one of the dirtiest.
Totally opposite.
Think about it.
And as he was walking around the barnyard, because that's what chickens do, might hop up on the fence or up on the outhouse or something every once in a while. But this eagle, very particular, clean bird,
yeah,
knew how many eggs she had. Knew she's missing one. So she took a fly. And our other two had hatched, so she knew how big it should have been. Went out there, flying over the barnyard one day looking for food. And when the eagle flies over a barnyard, the chickens scatter. And she looked down and saw her little eaglet. So she flies back around, and she lets out a scream. And that eaglet thought, whoa. My cluck sounds more like that than like mama. And as that eagle started working with this little eaglet, come to find out, the eaglet started realizing, I don't belong here. And the mother flew over and flapped her wings and told her, flap your wings. Yeah. Have you ever seen an eagle fly? It doesn't take much. That eaglet flapped his wings, three little whoop, 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 and you're gone. Chickens, they can flap all day. They ain't going nowhere. But what that eaglet found out, that it never was a chicken. Amen. Never was a chicken.
Amen.
It was the environment that caused you to be like you were.
Amen.
But when that eagle screamed,
amen,
there was something on the inside. The very nature of that eaglet started coming forth.
Amen.
It was predestinated not to be a chicken. It never was a chicken. It was
Amen.
Always an eagle. But when that cry, like the song says, such a cry made as an eagle scream, come up higher and leave this world behind. When that eagle screamed, that eaglet heard that scream, never heard it before, but when he heard it, he knew it was right. When I heard this message, brother children, though I was raised in the barnyard with the chickens, apostolic all my life, all I ever knew was apostolic. But when I heard this message one time, it did something to me. I couldn't even explain it. It stirred some on the inside, and I couldn't put my hand on it. I just knew that something about it sounded different. And the more I heard, the more I wanted it, and the more I got of it, I come to realize that I was an eagle the whole time. I never was a chicken. God always wanted me. He built me for this thing. He made me to love this word. And when I heard this truth preached, I hadn't heard anything like it before in my life. I couldn't even explain it. I wouldn't even bring Sister Spears with us because I didn't even know what I was in myself. I thought, I don't want to bring her out here if I'm in a cult. I need to find out what it is. But I know I couldn't get away from it. The more I heard about this message, the more I found out it was me that it was talking about. And now I can bring anybody here. Because I know that if you're an eagle, this message will have a ring in your ear and your heart that you've never heard. You will never get away from it. Because you're the predestinated seed of God. You're not just hanging around a church. This isn't this just church. This isn't just your normal denomination. This isn't just your normal message church. This is a group of eagles come together under the sovereign will of God, under the predestinated plan of God, receiving the word of God like we can't get nowhere else. Getting doctrine like we can get anywhere else. And when we get this doctrine, it makes us stronger. I'm flying higher now than I've ever flown in my life because I've got doctrine on doctrine on doctrine on doctrine. It's made me an invincible eagle. I can't be stopped. That's who we are. What did the opening of the seals do for us when it comes to predestination? Oh, it settled it. It settled it for me. It let me see that I come from God and I'm going to God. It doesn't matter what happens between A and Z. It doesn't matter whether I win or lose. It doesn't matter whether I get something or lose something. I'm an easy loser. I always tell people I'm an easy loser because it doesn't matter whether I live or die. Because I know I got another house. I know I'm predestinated Amen. From God, and I'm going back where I come from. It doesn't even matter to me how I get there. It showed us that God chose us from before the foundation of the world. It wasn't me choosing him, brother children. It was God's whole plan. It was his plan from the start. It was his plan from the finish. It was his plan in between, and all I am is a recipient of the grace of God to be able to be a part of that plan. We come from God, and he purposed to have us. Had to have us, because he's fulfilling his word. He's fulfilling it through his predestinated, preordained seed. If you didn't come from God, this is another thing it showed us here at the opening, after the opening seal with predestination. If you didn't come from God, you can't go. I preach, my message is so different. I'm not here trying to open the doors of the church and get a bunch of people in here. I'm saying if you're not a part of this, go. If you're a part of this, come. If you want it, it's here. If you don't want it, it's not here for you. And you need to understand how predestination works so that you don't walk out the door thinking, well, if I'm predestined, I'm going to be there. If you're predestined, you'll be about your Father's business. You better watch who you follow, because anybody and everybody don't have this doctrine right. Some people have predestination that God, they say God predestinated the Word. And the Word is predestinated. So as long as you have the Word, you're predestinated. But as long as you don't have the Word, you're not predestinated. That is not, you better watch who you follow. You better find somebody to have predestination's doctrine correct to know how it works. We were never lost. God had this plan all the time. He's always wanted us. We've always been a part of it. He purposed in himself to have us. So all these things, since the opening of the seals, a true understanding of predestination should make us a powerful group of people. That's one doctrine. One doctrine that they've got mixed up in this message. Not only in the church world. The church world is way off. They're not even close. But it's the people in this message that are close enough to deceive the very elect, if possible.
Yeah.
If they were able to get around the predestination. But they can't. All right. If you come from God, you won't be lost. John chapter 6, 35 through 37. I won't read it. He's just come to get us, is what Jesus said. All that the Father has given me will come. That's what that's about. We are the predestinated. One more quote and I'm closing. Quote that we read often. And we live through all these types in here. But when you hit the eighth, when time stops, you go into eternity. You don't come by loss. And rituals and orders. You come, only way that you can come, by predestination. That's the only way you're here today. Amen. There is a genuine holy convocation, see? And we're ending the seventh church age, the church age, the Pentecostal age. Do you see that? We're entering to a holy convocation after that last age. We're entering to the real, genuine eternity where the church is called. Not to some station, some denomination, but into eternity with the eternal King, see? We don't have it at all. No, we don't have it at all. No such a thing as days and things and times. You've passed into eternity where you come from. You're there to begin with, see? We come from where we were. We were in eternity to begin with. Now, by understanding predestination, we understand that I am here to do a job. I got something to do. I don't know what your job is. That's between you and God to find out what it is. But I come from eternity here to do a job, and I want to do the best job I can for God. I want to give him my all.
Amen.
Because it all belongs. My family belongs to him. My life belongs to him. I don't own nothing. Everything I got is just a loan, and it's a loan to fulfill what the will of God is in my life. That's why I'm here. And if I can't do that, I can't do nothing. But I can do no other because I'm predestinated. You pass into eternity. If you got eternal life, there's only one form. That's God. And you're an express attribute. That's all we are here to do, is be express attribute of him. See? If you're not, you're not going to be there. I mean, our message, the way we even pull people to church in one way, if you want to call it that, is so different, Brother Childers. We're not trying to get a bunch of people here. Like you said, you can live 40, walk out the door and say, God bless you, anybody else. Why? It's not about numbers. It's not about any of that stuff. I'm not here to pat you on the back. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to give you the doctrine. That's my job. I'm here to tell you, and if I can give you the doctrine, you'll be strong enough to stand on your own, and you can be about your Father's business, which is what you're here to do. All these old things, let's see. I come to, no man can come to me except my Father has drawn him, see, which passes away. All these old things But these things don't. So it speaks of eternity. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you are eternal. You are in eternity where you were all the time, but you just recognize what happened. We've been the predestinated all along. We didn't just become predestinated. We always were predestinated. We always come from God. We're always a part of God. God's always wanted us. God's always planned this for us. Now that we have the opening of the seals, we can see the truth doctrine of predestination and see how it should solidify your life and settle it down in such a way that you're not tossed back and forth. When I see somebody's back and forth, in and out, up and down, and everything all over the place, there's something wrong. Something's wrong. Because the doctrines that we have should settle it. It should settle it. And if you're not settled, get more doctrine. That's why I said I was excited about talking about doctrine, because like, that's what makes you strong. It doesn't make you a Christian, but it makes you strong. What makes you a Christian is you're Christ-like. You come from God. You're part of God, and He's called you. But you say, well, I'm a believer, but I don't need doctrine. Okay. You'll be tossed to and fro. You'll be all over the place, and you won't know which side your bread's buttered on. But when you get solid doctrine,
you need doctrine worse than you think.
You need doctrine worse than you think. Doctrine is what's going to settle you down. The doctrine is what's going to make you that example that you so think you want to be. The doctrine is that's going to be the thing that'll settle it all. Because the doctrine will be settled. It'll be strong. It'll be right. It'll tie in with every other doctrine. Our doctrines don't bump heads here. Not one doctrine. Now, just think of it. All of those doctrines we have here, not one of them bump heads with the other. Every last one of them runs. Brother Childers, that takes God. God dealt wonderfully with you, and you've dealt wonderfully with us. So it runs. It's perfect. Predestination. A doctrine that they either don't believe or they don't know what to do with. But we have that doctrine here. We are settled with how predestination even works. It's not no get-out-of-jail-free card. I can go out and live the world and do the world and be the world, and I'm going to heaven because I heard the message once. I understand what predestination is, so I'm going to go out here and live like the devil and be out in the world. That ain't what this is for. That is not predestination. That's unbalanced. That means you got not only the predestination doctrine wrong, you got some other doctrines wrong. But predestination isn't a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a wake-up call so that you can understand that I come from God. So, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? What do you need me to do? I must be about my... That's what Jesus did when he woke up and found out, oh, I must be about my Father's business. When you really understand predestination, the doctrine of predestination, it's not a go-get-em card. It's a, Lord, here I am. Send me. Help me. Lord, what do you want me to do? And it'll tie it in with everything else. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for your word. Your word is true. Every man's word is a lie. Father, when we talk about predestination, there's a balance to it so that people can understand that we come from you, we're chosen by you, but we're here to do your will. And this doctrine is one that many brothers have tackled, and smart men have tried to tackle it and couldn't get anywhere with it because they didn't have it tied in with the rest of the doctrines. But Lord, here at our church, we've been taught right. And you've helped us to understand the entire Bible. And this is just another example of how it all ties in together. Thank you for it, Lord. Help us to just find out what your will is for our life. Help us to just give ourselves to you totally so that you can use us. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, musicians. Give myself away. Let's sing that as we close. If you've never heard these doctrines, then you need to be taking notes. Because it'll help you to stand stronger. I don't know where it is in here. I know the song. Oh, you got the words there.
Yes.
Okay. Are they on the overhead or they won't know? They won't know. They've got it. Y'all got it back there? Food and storehouse? The verses? Yeah, I do. Okay. I know the words to the verses, but I don't know if they have it on there. Joe, do you have it back there? Food and storehouse. The verses. Right, stay with the doctrines, the prophet had said. Okay, we can. Okay, you got the verses too? Or just the chorus? All right. Food in the storehouse. Raven's birthday party in the back after church. So we'll go this way.
Amen.
Amen. There's food in the storehouse. For the sardine, a word for the bride, Jesus has sent out of his.